So think about sales as an organization, and they're meeting these clients on a day-to-day basis, and marketing putting together a portfolio of events without talking to them.
Yeah.
Doesn't resonate to each other.
That's right.
And that's where I feel like the challenge is not always working together. It's also understand who your consumer is.
Mm-hmm.
So for marketing to understand sales is their consumer,
yeah,
and sales and marketing to understand our end client is our joint consumer.
Great events create great brands. But pulling off an event that engages, excites, and connects audiences? Well, that takes a village. And we're that village. My name is Alyssa.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Felicia.
And you're listening to Great Events, the podcast for all event enthusiasts, creators, and innovators in the world of events and marketing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Great Events, a podcast by Cvent. If you're a regular here, you've already heard that Cvent recently engaged Matt Hines of Hines Marketing to play guest host on a series of conversations with marketers and experience makers. With over 20 years of experience in marketing, scaling revenue, and deeply understanding customer growth, Matt's experience brings some much welcome new perspective to Great Events. In this week's episode, Matt talks to Ajith Krishnankutty, VP of Experiential Marketing at Capital Group. Here's the gist of their conversation before we listen in. When sales, marketing, and events operate in silos, leads fall through the cracks, and event ROI takes a hit. In this episode, Ajith shares his experience in connecting the dots, improving cross-functional alignment, fixing handoffs, and ensuring that event engagement leads to real pipeline and also revenue. This is a tactical conversation for marketing and sales leaders looking to strengthen the impact of event-led growth.
All right, welcome back. So very excited to be here outside the Innovation Pavilion with Ajith Krishnankutty. You are the VP of Marketing at the Capital Group. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate that, Matt. Thanks for having me.
You were just on stage doing a breakout session, I think on the same kind of topic, just like getting sales marketing out of silos and into sort of more of an integrated conversation.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Like I think it was a full room. Mm-hmm. A lot of people wanted to address that topic, mm-hmm. a topic which resonates to a lot of the organizations where there is a disconnect.
Yep.
And I would like to put it as much more around a very positive connotation as an opportunity for us to connect it.
Yes. It's more than an opportunity, it's a mandate.
Indeed.
I think for us to be able to do go-to-market well, sales, marketing, events, teams need to work together. I think it is almost always a journey, not a destination. There's always more work to do. Not something you can solve in 45 minutes at a conference is certainly not something you're going to solve, you know, with Jan's hands at sales kickoff as well.
Yeah.
Talk a little about your personal experience in this area and how that sort of shaped what you learned and what you brought to the conference today.
I would start a little bit backward, like in terms of who's Capital Group.
Right? Yeah.
You know, Capital Group is one of the world's largest active asset management company. We've been around 93 plus years, so a very long tenure organization,
mm-hmm.
10,000 plus associates.
Mm-hmm.
Three different pieces of the organization, which is the investment group, we have our client group, and our operating group. So if you really put that together, you know, bringing the silos together is pretty challenging when it comes to that. And I came to this organization in 2018 when the CMO at that point of time, their mandate was to really bring events into the marketing ecosystem. So until then, events was kind of spread all across the different parts of the organization, very perfunctory in function. No strategy behind that. Nobody knew why we are doing events. No collective portfolio of events. No collective understanding of where we should be really aligned in terms of the strategies of the organization and business objectives. So the intent was to really bring, number one, events within the marketing organization, let alone strategy of why it is a big part of a marketing channel or why it should be part of our distribution strategy. So that was step number one for us to do it. So I came from a technology background organization for 16 years into an asset management organization where marketing was not a big focus area. Yeah. It was much more getting our thought leadership out in print and web.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, if you really look at our industry, 60% of our advisors are retiring in the next 5 to 10 years.
Wow.
And new generation taking over. So look at the challenge in front of us and the opportunity for multimedia. And look at, like, we have a big studio like this in our facility, and we're leveraging video content more than ever. I would say in the past 2 years, we have gone 200% more mm-hmm. in generating video content, wow. and events has grown threefold in the past 3 years or so. So that's a big challenge, and it's a kind of like I would say experiential marketing. When I say mm-hmm. is a bigger for just not events, but it's also like multimedia events and design,
yeah,
everything put together. How can we inspire our clients and new generation clients in a different way of marketing?
I love that. The status quo is alive and well, isn't it? Like just the barriers you gotta get through to sort of do what you're talking about doing. You know, you referenced status quo in terms of sort of sales and marketing silos. Status yeah. quo is in terms of the mix of marketing focus happening. The status quo in terms of people that have been around forever, and this is the way it's always been done.
Always.
All barriers to breaking down those silos. Talk about what have you found are some of the most common reasons why these teams fail to work together?
I feel like number one, to your point, the status quo is always the challenge. And when you go into larger organizations where people have been working in the similar roles for many years,
yeah.
the usual notion is this is how we've been doing it forever. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I feel like there is a very, you know, taken for granted approach in terms of this is how the organization operates.
Yep.
And, you know, there is no outside in perspective on what that really means.
Mm-hmm.
And also partnering across the table. So think about sales as an organization yeah. and they meeting these clients on a day-to-day basis and marketing putting together a portfolio of events without mm-hmm. talking to them.
Yep.
Doesn't resonate to each other.
That's right.
And that's where I feel like the challenge is not always working together. It's also understand who your consumer is.
Mm-hmm.
So for marketing to understand sales as a consumer
yeah.
and sales and marketing to understand our end client is our joint consumer.
Right.
I think that point of view changes the perspective of how we operate the business. So for yep. me, that was the biggest challenge. At the same time, an opportunity that I saw within the organization to really go into there and then say that to the sales guys as to, I'm here to support you.
Yep.
Let us know how we can help you.
Yep.
But at the same time, I saw the opportunity of data and technology
yep.
underneath that.
Yep.
Bringing data into the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Using the data to have a much more informed conversation and showing them, hey, listen, we can add more value if you redistribute some of the resources and money in a different part of the business, which is more yielding more results.
Yep.
And I'm giving them insights for them to actually run that as a much more better portfolio of an event.
Yeah.
And I think that changed the bond of view.
Well, and so, I mean, there's anecdotes that can help with that, I think, but how do you have to bring a number into that to help people understand how costly that siloed environment is?
If you really look at our portfolio, we were doing close to around 300 plus events pre-COVID, and we never had a virtual event strategy until COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of the organizations started to adopt that.
Yep.
And we were spending, I would not say the number, but multi-million dollar,
mm-hmm.
double digits number in terms of how much we were spending on events.
Right.
So from there, it's also really looking at and saying is, they were not connecting the dots. So I'll take conference as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Going into a conference, our intent is to really go and talk to people. There was no strategy behind bringing a lead back
in, mm-hmm.
using a technology to nurture that lead,
yep.
use that to grow the business, working with the broader marketing team to nurture that lead and create a marketing qualified lead into mm-hmm. sales call. That notion never existed
yep.
to start with. And I can't put a number against that, but I feel like it's a, you know, we are almost at $3 trillion in an organization from an AUM perspective.
Yeah.
I would say it's a couple of billion dollars,
yeah.
I would say at that
yeah.
point of time in terms of lost opportunities.
Yeah.
We could have done a much better job in being proactive with our clients to address their concerns. And what helped us was the adoption of technology like Cvent, et cetera,
yep.
is to bring that together, use the technology, drive the business, and drive the business together.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say you answer your question is multi-billion dollars, but we see that as an opportunity and showcasing this lost opportunity with sales
yep. Yep.
helped us move the needle faster.
So let's break down some of the building blocks, I think, of driving that better alignment. And let's start with just joint planning. Like, how do you do this? I mean, it's a lot harder if you're just gonna versus doing this in a silo to say, I'm gonna get my event, my marketing, my sales team together. But it's critical to make sure you're starting from the right place and have some consensus on the what and the why. What does planning look like for you to make that happen?
So in capital, the planning cycle, we operate on a calendar year
mm-hmm.
while the budgets are on a physical year.
Yep.
I don't know why we create that complexity. I'm sure a lot of the organization have that complexity. Marketing has a seat at the table.
Right.
If you really look at different channels like social, events or multimedia, every channel has a seat at the table. And we are jointly working in hand-to-hand. So we have three levels of that planning cycle,
mm-hmm.
The initial planning, the level one, level two, level three. Level three is where it goes to the management committee for approvals.
Yeah.
But we are actively working with them. And the reasons are twofold. One is making sure that we are giving them a proactive way to support the business. And mm-hmm. second is, do we have the right resourcing and capacity to manage that
right.
as part of that equation? So that's the way we plan it. And one of the things that we have changed during the planning is most of the portfolio of events are kind of, I would say 80% are the same.
Yeah.
20% vary based on new vehicles and strategies that we are evolving. So think about ETF as an example, mm-hmm. or public-private funds that we are launching right now. That would need a little bit more focus from a go-to-market strategy standpoint. Yeah. So instead of doing a 3 months planning cycle on a 12-month period and squeezing your capacity to execute events in 9 months,
right.
we have gone to an 18-month execution cycle, which essentially gives us more capacity around that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have created a capacity model within the space with different tiers of events, and that levers that we can pull as moving events from 1 month to a different month where the capacity is not that much affected, are really looking at and saying, yes, should we move this to a different side of the country where the cost is much lesser, et cetera. So there is a tierized approach that we have been adopting within the organization. Sales teams loves it
yeah.
because now they have an 18-month cycle of event
yeah.
versus a 9-month cycle of an event, and we do a 3-month planning. So I feel it has worked for our organization incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
They value us
yeah.
because we are bringing data
yeah.
and insights to table to drive the business.
Awesome. So we talked a little about the planning and sort of aligning the teams around that. Let's talk about what happens after the conference, right? Or after the event. Because too often, especially when you've got like a robust event schedule like yours, it's easy to start moving on to the next event
Absolutely.
Versus capitalizing on what you've built and the momentum you have. Like talk about the culture and the habits required to do that well.
I would say is one of the things that we have actively done, Matt, is the post-event is where I feel like most of the organization don't do a great job.
Right.
And we have been focusing on that as an opportunity. And I was talking about iCapture as a solution.
Yep.
So we recently worked with Cvent in terms of adopting iCapture
mm-hmm.
and implementing iCapture in conferences.
Yep.
And most of the organizations, what they would do is they will adopt the iCapture, they capture the leads, and mm-hmm. that's it.
Yep.
So we have solved one part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked with the consulting arm of Cvent in terms of adopting it. And also bringing in sales and lifecycle marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say lifecycle marketing, it's a different mentality within Capital Group right now to really look at an always-on journey versus a one-time journey with a client.
Right.
And really understanding behavioral triggers by the consumer
yep.
to really address what they need versus what we want to give it to them.
That's right.
As an example. So think about the leads that we're getting out of a conference. Now we have a great mechanism where it is now integrated with our Salesforce database.
Yep.
The sales team sees that if they have an existing contact. Marketing team will see that if it's not an existing contact.
Right.
And we can nurture those journeys based on mm-hmm. a conference. So if I'm going to Future Proof, which is predominantly driven by ETF as a product,
mm-hmm.
and if a client is walking into a booth or we're meeting during the conference and we're talking about ETF, now there is a trigger which essentially goes into whether it's a fixed income or equity ETF.
Yep.
And I can cater to the client based on what they need. So I feel like you spoke a little bit about the lost opportunity. This mm-hmm. is how we are addressing the lost opportunity to be much more proactive.
Yeah.
And the sales team is happy. And we as a marketing team has also adopted a digitally driven lead generation campaign,
mm-hmm.
which adds more value as a collective organization in mm-hmm. terms of meeting our goals.
You also talked about how you spend time training the sales team to listen for signals
Correct.
At events. What does that look like? What kind of signals are you prioritizing? How do you stack rank those to know which of them are maybe longer term buying signals versus which of them could use some immediate follow-up?
So it's also going back into a portfolio of events that we construct. And again, going back any organization, I think there are two goals. One is how do you retain your clients and how do you grow your clients? And I think it's more about objectives of the business that we need to lay out and say that, hey, if a sales guy is saying that I need to go to a X conference because we always been there,
mm-hmm.
the question is much more as how has that yielded results for us?
Mm-hmm.
And showing, and we have a great ROI framework that we have done it. And the mm-hmm. framework is based on two folds. One is we do something called a connected ecosystem, where mm-hmm. connected ecosystem is market, like you and I am like a financial advisor with the same portfolio of things. And you attend one of our event and I don't attend an event.
Yeah.
How does your behavior mm-hmm. and your consumption change based on my? So
yep.
we have a connected, like a data science model that we have built.
Yep.
And that model triggers in terms of, have you taken more meetings? Is your sales gone up or gone down,
mm-hmm.
et cetera? So I think we give that insights and we do a 6 months post-event engagement and an ROI. And now the sales guys have a clear understanding of how that drove sales,
right?
How that drove meetings, because right. getting meetings with the FAs are the most difficult piece of the puzzle that we are trying to solve. And that gives us the right insight of, should we be going there? And if we are going there, is that conference a growth opportunity or retention opportunity?
Yeah.
And which salesperson or wholesaler should I be sending to that conference?
Right.
So a lot of the decisions are made based on data.
Yeah.
If it is made out of emotions, I don't think so. That is always where the ego kicks in. That's yeah. when the sales and marketing doesn't work together
yeah.
in a lot of the organizations. So that's my observation on how things have been different within our organization.
So last question for you as we wrap up here. I think, you know, the bar continues to get higher for people getting out of their home office and getting on a yeah. plane and going to events like yeah. this. There's a great advantage to that from an event production as well as an event attendance standpoint. Mm-hmm. And yet you get to a conference like this and you see the energy and the passion of people that are here and just the optimism for where events are going moving forward. For you at a Capital Group, what do you see as the future of events as part of your go-to-market strategy?
Great question. We look at the portfolio. I spoke a little bit about our strategy was always due diligence meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you really look at asset management firms, most of their strategy is due diligence meeting. And, mm-hmm. you know, pre-COVID, virtual strategy was relatively zero.
Mm-hmm.
And if I really look at our portfolio right now, we do close to around 600 events a
yep.
year. And if I really look at the mix of it, it's 70-30, 70% sponsored, 30% mm-hmm. hosted.
Yeah.
And within the hosted events, I would say is 80% is virtual.
Okay.
And I'm looking at it and saying is that virtual things and the larger due diligence meetings are also changing the perspective to it. Virtual meetings are much more replaced. So mm-hmm. I'm really looking at a virtual event that is happening and taking that to a LinkedIn or a, you know, like an Instagram to do yeah. short snippets and driving people to watch the replays.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening. I think the data shows that.
Yep.
And the larger due diligence meetings are being changed into roadshows. And the smaller roadshows yeah. are really driving. So we are taking the content to the local market.
Yeah.
So we just finished like a 11-city tour in Canada, launching an ETF.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way for us to really look at that as a product instead of doing one large forum and expecting clients to fly to you.
Yes.
Why don't we come to you?
Yeah.
And create that. And we call that as Capital Ideas Live as a big event.
Yeah.
And we're doing that roadshows, not just in the US, mm-hmm. across the world.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the ways we are changing that. Second is this whole notion of trade booth and all of those things are changing.
Yes.
So think about Future Proof as an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been partnering with them. It's called Festival. And the booth property over there, that notion is changing. And we are now launching a pickleball court over there. I think it's more about bringing people into the mix.
Yeah.
Seeing people as people,
yeah.
and then really building relationships. And I think that is much better than walking somebody into a 10x10 or a 10x20 booth and expecting them to walk away thinking that they want to yeah. buy your product.
Yeah.
So I think that's the landscape is going to change. And of course, AI is embracing it. You know, embracing AI is a great component of it. Really, technology is a key component of it. So as marketers, if you're not doing it, and really leveraging the data to convert them to actionable insights,
mm-hmm.
I think we are missing the game on that. Otherwise.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that. Awesome. Thanks so much for being here.
Appreciate that. Thank yeah. you. Thanks Thank for you. The opportunity.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out with us on Great Events, a podcast by Cvent. If you've been enjoying our podcast, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.
And you can help fellow event professionals and marketers just like you discover great events by leaving us a rating on Apple, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
Stay connected with us on social media for behind-the-scenes content, updates, and some extra doses of inspiration.
Got a great story or an event to share? We want to hear from you. Find us on LinkedIn, send us a DM, or drop us a note at greatevents@cvent.com.
Big thanks to our amazing listeners, our guest speakers, and the incredible team behind the scenes. Remember, every great event begins with great people.
And that's a wrap. Keep creating, keep innovating, and keep joining us as we redefine how to make events great.